From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of June, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. A bit later in this program, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, that were released this morning at 7:30 a.m. during the midst of trade with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then later on, we'll look at the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Along the way today, we'll hear too from the statisticians across the Midwest and update growing conditions in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. And we'll close out our program to see just how well the corn and soybean crops might fare in the weather department over the next 10 days with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the electronic trade like this, and there is a difference between the electronic and the open outcry pit, especially in the soybeans for the afternoon. We'll get to that in a moment. The nearby July wheat in the soft red at 616.5 was down 14 as it finished up the day. July corn today at 581.25, down 10.75, and September at 523.75, down 16.75 on its last trade. December corn futures last trade at 518.75 when it closed at 2 o'clock. 15.25 lower. The March at 5:30, down 16. The May at 537.5, 16 cents lower. July at 544, down 16. And December at 526.25 for next year, down 12.25. July beans were up 7 on the day at $14.31.75. The August at $13.97.75, down a penny and a quarter. And September at $13.61 were unchanged. The November futures were up a half at $13.31.75. And by contrast, in the pit, the November beans finished 5.75 higher at $13.37. So there was some difference, a rather large difference, actually, between the November contracts in the pit for open outcry and the electronic today. And then the January futures, $13.29.75, were down a quarter. The March at $13.05, down 2.75. July bean meal for the day at $4.31.10, up 3.10. Bean oil at $49.64. That was down a dime on the afternoon. Live cattle futures on the day finished the August at $120.30 unchanged. Feeders at $162.22.5 were up 80, and lean hogs were 20 cents higher. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil at $83.35. That's 66 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.25, down 3.6 cents. Natural, that's actually ethanol. Now the natural gas, $2.23.4 there, a penny and 6 cents higher. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.62.6, 0.9 cents lower. Gold futures on the day at $1,612.70 an ounce, up $17.20, and the dollar at 82.42. That's a down 0.08. The CRB index for the afternoon at 270.86, up 0.11 for the day. The weather forecast, as we'll say, see sunny skies. Yet this afternoon, a high of 78 degrees with a north-northwest wind. It'll be beautiful outside with a 15-mile-an-hour gust all the way to 22 tonight, mostly clear, a low of 50 degrees, a north-northwest wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Then tomorrow, sunny skies again, a high of 78 on an east wind between 7 and 10. Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low of 54 with an east-southeast wind at about 8 miles an hour. And on Thursday, sunny skies and a high of 83 degrees with an east-southeast wind 6 to 8 miles an hour. Thursday night, mostly clear and a low of 61. Friday, sunny skies and 88. Friday night, mostly clear and 67. Saturday, sunny and 90 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 69. Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 89. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 69. And Monday, mostly sunny skies and 89 degrees. We'll have more on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line for a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Did you have a fun morning, Wayne?
We had such a thriller, it was too much to handle, about.
Well, tell me about it. From your perspective as a broker that had to handle the marketplace as it opened, and was opened, actually, during a WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. That's probably the first time you've had to manage that process.
This is the first time we've had to do this. We'd like to know whose brainy idea this was so we could write them nasty letters, but it is just something that's totally ridiculous if you don't have a supercomputer to be doing it. We give up and watch the board trade instead of trying to find all the numbers on the pages that way for at least the first 5 minutes because it just wasn't worth it. And basically, we overreacted, just as we said we would in many cases, to how we settled out trading later in the day. A lot of people probably got burnt on the overreactions that they had stops in or felt that the market was moving against them. And just in general for the trade, we think it would be better to be closed during report.
Well, let me ask you about that, because from the hedger standpoint or from the producer standpoint, a lot of people who, even some of the speculator standpoint, that would have taken position and put stops in, they may have gotten stopped out one way or the other. And that's one argument that says, no, we shouldn't have this open. The other argument is, from the trader's perspective, that they're looking to make money and finding those stops. So I suppose they go hunting maybe in the morning on a morning like today. But I don't know whether that's really the case or not.
That's predatory trading. We don't like that.
I would say, okay, I shouldn't say that happens.
No, it does happen, and it does happen along with a lot of these programs and things along the way. I guess maybe after so many years of doing things one way or the other, why we've got used to having a little time to stop, analyze, be able to find numbers, get a feel towards things, and actually come into things. I think that it's basically we need time to reassess in the morning to start the day. I would love to see them close the market for a couple hours like they had been doing before all this happened.
But, all right. So this gives us a good jumping off point, because at this time, USDA has an open comment period that producers and anybody who's interested can look up and make a comment about what time they think USDA reports, in particularly the statistical reports that come from NASS, should be released. There are many opinions. Some say 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Some say at this time of day, like today at 7:30 Central, but to cause FTC to close up shop for the exchanges. Which would be your drather?
Oh, at the morning with a closed market is much better than we have. Both markets could open, the pit and the electronic, back in the morning. The majority of people would be in for the day. They can actually see and do and react to it. The other one, when the majority of people are with the floor would be closed, or when we don't have quite everybody in the office, to reopen for the evening trade would make things very awkward, Todd. And I think it would just be better if they stayed with their old thing of releasing it in the morning, but exchanges all be closed.
But it would take two U.S. agencies to get together and to make all of that happen, because it doesn't have to be a voluntary action from the exchanges to close. They can be mandated, but that would take another agency to cause exchanges to at least pause.
Yeah, we'd hate to have common sense prevail.
Well, we'll see how it all works out. Anyway, commentary is being taken by the United States Department of Agriculture. You can find it, of course, if you just look up USDA or search for comment period for CME exchanges and USDA reports, I'm sure, on the web under Google or whatever, Bing, if you happen to use that. Okay, so the numbers came in this morning from the WASD. The first thing I made note of was that they changed nothing under the corn.
Isn't that amazing? Everything that's happened over the last month as far as weather is concerned, as far as our export business, with the tightness of corn bases, seeing that corn wasn't moving, that we changed absolutely nothing. And that gave us even more confidence in the USDA reports that they aren't looking at what's really happening. The one thing that we do have to say is we do have to commend them that they did at least raise the ethanol when they did drop the exports But they did raise the ethanol usage. If they're going to say we're going to have that much corn left over, we're going to continue to crush corn for ethanol, and they did acknowledge that this time.
All right, and then in the soy complex, a few things changed, and things got tighter this year and next year.
Yeah, I mean, we upped the usage for this year. We reduced some of the usage that they had the last report, but would be the carry-in was lower. We still moved down a little bit, but they are acknowledging the tightness of the soybean crop, the difficulty of what's going on now. And I think that as we look at things and even looking at the beans, we saw that reflected, and at least they were higher today. They did trade higher because of the tightness there. And I think the corn drifted lower on two things. Number one, the extended weather forecast that does put some general rains in the 6 to 10 day out there. And it does also gives us that 1-8 carry out is just a tremendous number to try to fight, even if we do have some weather problems.
And then anything else that we had to cover for the day on the marketplace?
Anything on the marketplace. Otherwise, we were actually pretty quiet as far as much news went. We still have the overhang, the hangover, at least from the European attitude on the banks failing. You know, as soon as we get Spain a lot of money given to them, we think it looks strengthening on Sunday night, then we start talking about Portugal. So, still a lot of overhang from the European community.
And sir, your view is the two major drivers in the marketplace, at least at this point, will be the European Union and weather?
Weather in the European Union and weather has the driver's seat for right now.
Okay. Thanks much, Wayne.
Thanks, Tom.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday, USDA released its weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday the 10th, 66% of the corn crop across the United States was in good to excellent condition. That compares to 72% the previous week. Soybeans now have been planted to the rate of 97% on the rolling five-year average. That's usually 85%. 90% of the crop is emerged compared to the rolling five-year average of 67% for soybeans. And as of this week, 60% of the soybean crop said to be in good to excellent condition. That compares to 65% last week. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 10, 2012. Warm, dry conditions are beginning to stress Iowa row crops. Although they continue to be rated mostly good to excellent, crop conditions declined slightly for the third straight week. Rainfall was minimal during the week, and Iowa recorded the driest week since early February, allowing farmers to spray crops and rapidly make hay. Statewide, average precipitation was only 7/100 of an inch compared with the normal of 1.19 inches. Temperatures varied from a morning low of 45 degrees in Elkada on Thursday to a high of 93 degrees in several locations. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 4.4 degrees above normal. There were 6.6 days suitable for field work during the week compared to 5.2 days the previous week. With the limited rainfall, topsoil moisture levels dropped to 26% very short, 40% short, and 34% adequate. South Central Iowa is the driest with 97% of the topsoil moisture rated short to very short. Subsoil moisture also declined for the fifth consecutive week and is now rated 59% short to very short. Corn condition is reported at 67% good to excellent, down 8 percentage points from last week, with a few scattered reports of corn silking in eastern Iowa. With 94% of the expected soybean acreage emerged ahead of the five-year average of 84%, condition of the crop is rated 62% good to excellent, down 9 points from last week. 86% of the oat crop is headed almost 3 weeks ahead of normal, and the first cutting of alfalfa hay at 97% complete is nearly a full month ahead of the normal pace, with some farmers already starting on their second cutting. The percentage of the oat and hay crops in good or better condition both declined 6 points from last week, and for the first time this year, less than half of Iowa's pasture land is rated good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field
Office. This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, June 10th. Statewide temperatures averaged a near normal 69 degrees. However, rainfall accumulations were well below normal at just 9 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 81 one-hundredths of an inch below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 10th. These dry conditions provided 6.7 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies declined to 26% very short, 52% short, and only 22% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile has also been depleted and now stands at 24% very short, 48% short, and only 28% adequate. The driest crop reporting districts based on topsoil moisture supplies were the two southern districts, both reporting 70% in the very short category. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 733, which was 105 units, or 17%, ahead of the historic average. Corn growth continued at a healthy pace last week with a reported average height of 29 inches, a growth of 10 inches in just 1 week, and this height is compared to 13 inches a year ago and 16 for the 5-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in 56% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. Soybean emergence advanced to 96% compared to 69% a year ago and 65% for the 5-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 50% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature at a record pace, with 97% reported turning yellow compared to 65% a year ago and 56% for the 5-year average. 74% was reported ripe, and this compares with only 14% a year ago and 11% for the 5-year average. And the recent warm, dry conditions were near ideal for harvest, with 53% of the crop reported in the bins by week's end. Historically, harvest has only reached 1% by this date. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 0.21 inches, leaving 6.6 days suitable for field work. Some portions of Indiana received very limited rainfall earlier in the week as conditions grew warmer and drier throughout the week. Rainfall totals were minimal in central, east central, and the southern parts of the state, and virtually non-existent elsewhere. Corn condition fell sharply as drier conditions continued and is now rated 49% good to excellent, compared with 54% last year at this time. 94% of the intended soybean acreage has emerged compared with 46% last year. Farmers continue to replant spots in soybean fields due to low plant populations caused by the hot, dry weather during emergence. The winter wheat harvest is underway in the southwest counties, with 24% of the crop out of the fields at this point. Harvest will soon move northward as the crop is rapidly maturing. This is Greg Matley reporting.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Weather and Crops Report for the week ending June 10th, 2012. Above normal temperatures and little or no precipitation continue to stress dryland crops and lower crop and pasture condition ratings statewide. Temperatures averaged 4 degrees above normal last week with triple-digit highs in portions of the southwest. Little to no precipitation fell across the state, with the only isolated areas in extreme southeastern Nebraska receiving significant amounts of rainfall late Sunday. Wheat harvest began during the week in the southeast and was expected to move quickly westward across the southern tier of counties. Period of the irrigation was active with gravity flow operations underway. Corn conditions rated 70% good or excellent, below last year on average. The second cutting of alfalfa was 19% complete, although regrowth was slow. Pasture rain conditions declined with culling underway in some areas due to poor pastures. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 10, 2012. Topsoil moisture supplies declined slightly this past week as daytime high temperatures reached 90 degrees or higher in most locations. As of June 10th, top soil moisture supplies were rated 85% adequate to surplus, compared with 95% the previous week. Despite above-average temperatures and limited rainfall, crop conditions held relatively steady. Statewide, there were 5.7 days rated suitable for fieldwork. 82% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition, with an average height of 14 inches. 74% of the soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition, with an average height of 4 inches. 88% of the spring wheat and barley were jointed, and 31% of the spring wheat was headed, and 26% of the barley was headed. 86% of the oats were jointed, and 34% was headed. Crop conditions for all three small grains was primarily rated fair to good. Sweet corn was 69% planted. That compares to 61% last year and 74% for the five-year average. Dry beans were 97% planted and 84% are emerged. Dry beans were rated with 85% in fair to good condition. First cutting of alfalfa was 78% complete. Alfalfa condition was rated with 1% very poor, 6% poor, 24% fair, 59% good, and 10% excellent. Pasture and range condition was rated with 1% very poor, 7% poor, 19% fair, 57% good, and 16% excellent. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 10th, 2012. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Time now to check the agricultural energy markets on the phone line from Archer Financial Services in Chicago. It's an ADM affiliate. Is Stephen Platt. The first question, Stephen, I have for you is a personal question as opposed to an Archer Financial affiliate question. So this is just from your opinion. How did the open go this morning with the USDA report in the midst of it?
We survived. I guess that kind of sums it up to some degree. But, you know, overall, I have mixed opinions. First of all, you know, many of our markets in terms of the energy markets do have trading during the time that they come out with key reports. However, agricultural markets are kind of do have a niche of their own. They are a lot of small producers involved, which tends to make the volatility a more, problem for them in terms of risk avoidance. Today's report was an example of it. We moved this market from 5:30 to 5:17 on the December contract. So that's a pretty good size move. Now, it doesn't give many people time to look at the reports unless they're real sharp and they're almost computer driven. And that gives the advantage to those computers, I think, in terms of high-frequency traders.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that comment. Remember, right now we are taking, the United States Department of Agriculture, that is taking comments on when the report should be released. You can look that up in the Federal Register and look for just USDA report and comments in Federal Register. Should come up in Google, and you can register your comments at what time you think those USDA reports should be released from the United States Department of Agriculture. More with Steve Platt in just a moment.
Todd, I'd like to also elaborate in terms of what you just said. I think I urge your subscribers to really take action because these are very important questions to their own businesses, and really that's what the USDA is there for you. Not for the traders, not for the hedge funds, but for you. And I think those actions are very important to your congressman and to the CFTC, to throughout the government. And they'll be responsive, I think.
Okay, turn your attention then to the energy markets. Crude oil down at $83 now. It's well off its highs.
Well, we've had a pretty solidly bearish tilt. We talked about the seasonality of this market going during the second quarter, and certainly it's performed on the downside. I think the question is how Saudis perform here as we move into the OPEC meeting, which takes place on Thursday. I think they will continue to keep the pressure on prices in that more for political reasons in terms of what it does to undercut Iran's power in the Middle East rather than just strictly on an economic basis.
Anything else we should watch? We've got about 30 seconds.
I think you need to look at this heating oil down here. We're at levels that we haven't seen really since October of 2011. Once again, look for the seasonal to work for you. As you get into the end of the summer, you should be certainly looking very seriously at locking in your diesel costs.
Thanks so much.
Have a nice day.
That's Steve Platt. This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It is a magnificent day in East Central Illinois. Just beautiful. The sun's shining. A few clouds around here and there. The humidity's low. The temperature's not bad. Tell me there's more of that in the offing. And, maybe some rainfall as well, too.
Well, what we're going to see is that one reason why it feels so pleasant out there is we have a cool, dry air mass that came in behind the system that brought some rain to some folks. This will eventually be replaced by some warmer temperatures moving in as we get to the end of this week and into the weekend. But the warmer temperatures not necessarily going to be a very wet weather pattern as we go through the weekend into early next week. There is going to be shower and thunderstorm activity, but it's going to favor the western areas. Looks like Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, portions of Missouri, and we could include western Illinois, northwestern Illinois into that. Those are the areas that this weekend into early next week are going to get into the action with the rain. The central and eastern Corn Belt areas are going to be warmer, but while there may be some occasional shower and thunderstorm activity, it won't add up to much.
Are you beginning to see a division line somewhere of the eastern and the western Corn Belt and what crop looks like it's getting enough rainfall and which one looks like it may be in more dire need?
Well, you know, right now I would say that the areas that are going to need it are going to be the central and eastern areas because there's definitely going to be a tendency, at least here in the next week or two, where the western areas are going to fare the best. Now, after that time frame, as we look a little bit further ahead, a cooler, more moist weather pattern will move back into the central and eastern areas. So I think this drier period for the central and eastern Corn Belt won't last too long before we get back into some better chances of precipitation.
How long out is that? Is that 10 days
out? I
would
say about 10 days out or so. And then we'll start to get back into the swing of things, and we'll see a shift in the weather pattern that will bring better chances of rain. And quite honestly, we have a long-range outlook that even though we're going to warm up here, after that there could be another pretty good cool down.
All right. So it sounds like if you're planning to harvest wheat and you're in the eastern Corn Belt, you're probably okay. But if you're in the midst of harvest and you're in the southwest or the Great Plains, how's that going along?
Well, if you go and look in those areas, it's going to be pretty active, especially as we get into late this weekend and the next week. In Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle could see quite a bit of an active pattern of showers and thunderstorms.
And then turn your attention to other growing regions around the northern hemisphere.
Well, Europe right now stands a pretty good chance of seeing some decent weather. Conditions are going to be favorable for most of Europe, stretching into the Ukraine and Russia, picking up near-average amounts of precipitation. There aren't any areas that I would say there's a bullseye of heavy precipitation or a bullseye of real dry conditions. Overall, it looks favorable. Temperatures might be a little bit on the warm side in eastern Europe, a little below normal over in central and western Europe.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.